The Jays and the Orioles are combined 83 games behind the Boston Red Sox. 83 games combined. And it's still August.
It's August. It's August. Like, there's a month and a half
to
go.
How awful could this get? Hey,
and not just that, it's mid-August.
Yeah. It's, what is it, August 20th today? Yeah.
Like, it's mid.
There's 11 days left in the month.
And then 30 more after that.
There's a lot of games still left to be played.
That's kinda, I remember doing a Jays, they were the Devil Rays then, series, and I had emailed the D-Rays announcer to arrange to talk to him before the series, and they were like 50 games out. And he's like, due respect, but what could you possibly want to talk to me about?
Thanks for coming out, but don't ever talk to me again.
No, he was fine. He was just like, what would you like me to say? You know, and they...
Try to find a positive? Is that possible?
I remember their starting pitcher, one of the games, had like a... He was like 3-12 in a terrible ERA. Hadn't lasted beyond the fourth inning, his last five starts. Had all these stats on how terrible he was. Three-hit, complete game shutout. He looked like Tom Seaver.
That's always the way it plays out.
I was just like, are you kidding me?
Well, someone will do that tonight. Someone will look like a legitimate baseball player tonight. Well, I don't know who it's going to be.
But you know, they call it, the stock market, they call it a dead cat bounce. You know, like when a company's about to go bankrupt and the stock bounces a little bit just because, you know, predators are moving in on it. Or a sucker rally. And in baseball, you always get caught. I think hockey, too. You get caught in the late season sucker rally, right? Some teams 9 miles out of the playoffs, they make a late run and say, yeah, next year, you know, we're going to follow up and it's going to be great. No.
No. Not happening.
No.
That was always the way with the Leafs forever. The Jays as well, that 20-year gap right. between playoff appearances. Kids would come up in September. Yeah. You're like, there he is. That's the next Mickey Mantle. Like Brett Laurie did that. When Laurie came up.
He was the next Mickey Rivers.
Exactly. He was hitting like Mickey Mantle, and then we know what happened. Here's Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star. Griff, of these two numbers, which one is more daunting to you? Which one is more just astounding to hear? That the Jays and Orioles are a combined 83 games behind Boston, or that their run differential is a combined minus 282?
Well, both of those are pretty stunning, but the thing Gord was talking about a minute ago, take the Blue Jays whenever they're coming off of playing the Yankees or the Red Sox, because this should be like the premiership in soccer. You should have three tiers, and the Jays don't belong on the same field as the teams in the top tier. Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, they don't belong on the same field. So you play a team like the Orioles, those numbers you read off, somebody's going to have a great game tonight.
Yeah. Oh, it's inevitable. The Jays own Baltimore. You got to give them that. Right, you got to give them something. They're 9-1, I think, against Baltimore this year, so they have that going for them.
Yeah, it ruins the stat when you're saying how bad they are against the AL East because they can't beat Tampa either.
No, it's very deceiving.
Griff, they really did get slaughtered in New York, didn't they? I mean, that was a
and you look at the way they played, and you look at the way they competed, and if you were paying attention within the game, I mean, they had a lot of guys swinging at balls in the dirt. Seeming disinterested. You had Kevin Pillar trying to steal third, down four runs, and saying that he hoped that a little bit of rain on the catcher's hand, he would have thrown the ball into left field, which seems like a revisionist history to me for a major league player to be thinking like that. So, you know, they got to sort of regroup, and Gibby's got to be a part of that and get these guys thinking baseball. There's another 38 games left.
Well, and that's where I come at it from. Like, the John Gibbons story, we all know where it's going to end. We know that he's out of here in a month and a half. And I think he's a pretty good manager. I think he's had a very good run. But I've been a little bit thrown off by the lack of criticism being directed towards him at all. I mean, quite frankly, there's been none. And listen, that's Pillar. Pillar's being an idiot, but why does he feel like he can get away with that? Like, their fundamentals are awful. Their defense has been, they're one of the worst three or four defensive teams in the league. When does Gibbons have to have some blood on his hands for that? Like, doesn't he have to take some responsibility?
You have to take some responsibility, but I think organizations have to take responsibility. You got a guy who's 29 years old, has been in the organization for the better part of a decade, and this is the way he's playing ball. I mean, when you come to the major leagues, you're supposed to be more of a finished product than that. And to have a guy in a situation like that just give himself up and take his team out of the game, out of the inning, You know, you can't have coaches reminding players at the major league level every day of what they should be doing in certain situations. I don't even do that with my junior team of 19 to 21-year-olds. And if one of them did that in a game, he'd be out of the game. And like, before he could even stand up, he'd be gone.
Well, and that's part of the conversation for tonight, because Pilar's back in the lineup. He's hitting in the two-hole, and Gibbons was asked about it, and he said he didn't even think twice about, you know, more of a repercussion that he'd have to pay.
Well, in baseball, the wrath of a manager is like a strained hamstring. It's day-to-day.
Right.
You know, you play 162 games, and he made his point, and there's seven guys younger than Kevin Pilar that were in that dugout at Yankee Stadium listening to the manager go off on Pilar. And if they didn't learn their lesson there, they're not going to. I fear for Teoscar Hernandez learning that lesson. But, you know, he's still learning to run his routes on a GPS he got from Dollarama. So
it's ugly, man. It really is. And you know, I guess I'm getting frustrated because I don't know who to blame anymore. Like, that's how bad it is. Yeah, you know, the players take up a large portion of it. Management has to. The manager has to. The coaching staff has to. The atmosphere, the culture. I mean, it's a moving target every single day.
Yeah, I think when you're on the line to win 70 to 75 games, it's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult to have guys focusing all the time. There's a reason the Houston Astros, who are recognized as one of the best developmental teams and the analytics experts in baseball, let a guy like Teoscar Hernandez go in a trade because he has some faults. So if you gather bargain basement players and hope that they develop at the major league level, you're fooling yourself.
Richard, Sean Reed Foley, losing to Kansas City is one thing. You know, the Yankees hit him pretty hard. What'd you think of his brief time up?
Well, I think it was necessary. I think they're still wiping the froth off his back because of the excitement that he felt and the anxiety that he felt. So it's going to help him when he comes back up later in September. He's going to be a part of their future, 22 years old. Everybody needs to go through that. Unfortunately, it was at Yankee Stadium and in Kansas City. And they're hoping that he'll be more under control when he comes up the next time. But he's got a great arm. He's got major league stuff. He's just not ready.
What about Billy McKinney making his debut for the Jays over the weekend? He's still up with the team. I don't believe he's playing tonight. But what do you expect out of him down the stretch?
Well, I think he'll get some playing time. I think a lot of these guys will get playing time once September 1st comes around and they have a roster that's loaded up. They know what Teoscar Hernandez can do. He's not in the lineup tonight. You'll have guys like that sitting down and seeing what guys like McKinney can do, because they're not sure what their future looks like in 2019. And if they want to discover what they've got and then fill in the holes for 2020, when I believe that they're planning to on at least competing for 85 wins, then they need to see what they have in September heading into 2019.
What about Estrada? Do you think he's still a Blue Jay this time 2 weeks from now?
2 weeks from now, I would say there's a chance. He hasn't been pitching well enough for a contender to say, yeah, he's going to help us. But end of the season and in September, they may just throw him down in the bullpen because he's not a part of their future. And they'll try their best to find a deal for him between now and the end of August, but I think that there's a chance he'll be in the bullpen in September.
With Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star, you know, the ups and downs of the careers of Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, it's been kind of almost eerie the way it's played out. When one is up, the other one's down. When one's healthy, the other one's on the DL. And it appears as if that's going to happen again, with Stroman now dealing with the blister issues, ironically enough. Sanchez is getting another minor league stint, I believe, tonight, and he may be back in the rotation come this weekend. I mean, where do you stand on those two as being viable options as top of the rotation guys? Like, they're not kids anymore. How are we supposed to project what they're going to be next season, let alone 3 or 5 years down the road?
Well, that's a great question, because we saw in a full season what Sanchez could do. He led the American League in ERA, and everyone thought that was a breakout season. And then 2 years in a row, he's had finger issues. This one wasn't a blister. The year before was, and now Stroman getting the blister issues. I think during the off season, they should have a program for their pitchers where they bale hay all winter so it's toughen up their hands.
Yeah, something's got to give.
Or soak them in pickle juice.
Yeah. It's just... you know, there's nothing you can do, I guess. You have to believe they've tried something to avoid these blisters, right?
Yeah, and there's also, I have theories on it. I mean, back in the old days, they didn't change the baseball every time it touched the dirt. Now you got a new ball with a slick cover and the lace is as stiff as they can be, brand new balls every pitch. And to me, that's a part of the problem. It used to be catchers tried to keep the ball in the game as long as they could.
Right.
Now, as soon as it touches the dirt, they're handing it to the umpire, getting a new ball. And I think that might have something to do with it, but who knows?
Yeah. Go yell that today. Just go out into the middle of the field and start yelling about the replacement of baseballs on every single pitch. See what happens. See how quickly you get arrested.
Yeah, well, I'm tired of yelling at baseball players with my team bowing out in the Ontario Championship.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Is the manager back next year, or are the rumblings about him, too?
They don't know. I threw the media out of my office.
As you should.
Did you do a Hal McRae?
Yeah.
Just smash the TV, throw the chair.
Throw the phone, right.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Imagine that.
Griff goes off.
Yeah, notable baseball journalist kicks media out of his own scrum. That would go over well. Well, what are you expecting for the attendance conversation over the next three nights with Baltimore in town?
Well, they're going to have, this is a horrible situation for the Jays moving forward. They're in a catch-22. They're trying to build new viewing areas in the ballpark for next year, and then they're going to use money for payroll to build those areas, and then because they're not spending on payroll, they're going to have nobody showing up. So I think we're going to see a preview of that this week. There should be mid-tens, 10 to 15,000 in the park, but they'll announce in the 20s because of tickets sold.
So what are you hearing then based on, like, what the new viewing experiences are going to be? What are they trying to test out? What can we expect?
Well, they're going to fire a cannon through one area and see if it hits anybody.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal. I'm going to say, I think that's still against the law.
I'm pretty sure no one's going to sue because it's not going to hit anybody tonight. I guarantee it.
Well, if they have it all built up, and there are plans that Mark Shapiro was brought in for, if they have it ready for 2020, that's why I think they want to compete then, because they don't want an empty stadium with all these beautiful new facilities. So, you know, it's going to be a tough grind. They've already raised the season ticket prices. I had a letter from a season ticket holder. It was disgusted. They wanted their money by the end of August, and I don't think that's going to work either. So it's going to be a tough grind for the Jays over the next 16 months, but we'll see how that comes out on the other side.
All right, Griff, try to enjoy it tonight, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Yeah, we do our best.
Yes, you will. There's Richard Griffin, soldiering on, covering this baseball club with the Baltimore Orioles in town. Fading the Orioles tonight. I love the Jays. I think Marco Estrada goes legend tonight.
Okay.
Legend.
I think you are overstating the case. I think you're using hyperbole a little bit there.
I might be, but something's got to give.